For 91.3 WKY News, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on medicine. The holidays are here, and with that joy sometimes comes some pressures. And my guests today are going to talk about dealing with some of those pressures, especially as we gather around the table with family and friends. I'm speaking today with UK dietitians Dr. Karen Briley-McNeice and Vanessa Oliver about the pressures surrounding the dinner and snack table at holiday time and how we can also have joy as we deal with those pressures. First speaking is Karen, followed by Vanessa.
I think a lot of the challenges that people feel during the holidays are really not that different than the challenges they feel the rest of the year. It's just really amplified this time of year, right? So all of these normal challenges we have about busy schedules and social events and pressure to eat and access to unhealthy foods, that all just gets magnified this time of year. So I think we want to remind people these aren't necessarily unique challenges that they haven't dealt with before, but they are coming a little more fast and furiously than they normally do.
And the leftovers are usually a little bit better this year, so people feel some added pressure, perhaps.
Well, and I know you talk about this with your clients, but of course, we're not just talking about food and drink here. We're talking about family dynamics often and expressions of love through food that can sometimes be difficult to ignore, and we don't want to hurt the feelings of our aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters. Any hints on what we can be telling our friends and relatives if we really don't want that third helping of the meat pie or whatever?
There are a lot of other things tied up around food with the holidays, have really not so much to do with feeding yourself physiologically, right? There's a lot of psychological, emotional sort of baggage that can come along with that holiday meal. And I think one thing that is important to remember is something that you sort of just said, Greg, in your question there. It's okay to tell somebody no thank you, right? No one has any right to tell you exactly how much you're going to be eating at any time of the year, and particularly around the holidays. So you do have the power to control your portions, right? Only you can decide how much food you're going to eat, and that decision should be based on listening to your body, where you are at that point. You know, slow down, see how you feel before you start eating, pay attention to the bites that you do take, and then when you're almost full, stop.
And speaking of portions, right, I think that is a big message that Vanessa and I convey to folks this time of year, that, you know, it's not necessarily about what you eat, because a lot of what's around us are those more decadent, higher calorie foods, sure, that we want to be more careful with. But it doesn't mean we don't get to taste those and enjoy those and at some level during this time of year. And that's where the portion control does come into play, and being very mindful about what it is you're most going to enjoy, right? What is really special in terms of food and drink this time of year that maybe you can enjoy the rest of the year, and allow yourself to have a little of that. And a lot of the research shows us that we most enjoy the first three bites of our food. You know, our brain, the happy receptors light up those first three bites. We really enjoy it. Everyone knows those first few bites taste the best, and that's why. And after that, it's really diminishing returns, and we're just eating that food because it's there and it's on our plate. So we want people to remember that as well.
And I know the word mindfulness gets bandied about a lot, and I'm no expert in that by any means, but I guess part of this is we don't want to be the archetype of not realizing that we ate that whole bag of Doritos while binge-watching Netflix. We just want to be aware as we go into that dinner party or that luncheon or whatever of what we're putting into our mouths.
Yeah, and that can be challenging when we have maybe other distractions. Maybe there's people that we haven't seen in a long time, or maybe we're uncomfortable in social situations, and usually we're able to avoid that at other times of the year. So you might be sort of filling your time with food instead of maybe talking to people. And so sometimes, you know, knowing what your comfort level is and knowing what your tolerance is for these particular situations can be a form of mindfulness as well.
And Karen, did you want to say something else?
I was just going to add that oftentimes in these situations, we can predict kind of some of those challenges we're going to come across. We know we're going to run into Aunt Margie and she's going to push that pecan pie on us, for example, right? We know we're going to go to this event and so-and-so is going to bring their famous cake and going to be asking everybody to try it. So if we can anticipate and stay kind of one step ahead and think about how we might respond to those challenges, then we're not caught off guard and on our heels when the situation does arise.
Yeah, we call that if-then planning. So if such and such happens, then I will do this. And just sort of practicing that in your head or even writing it down or however makes sense to you before the actual event, that's sort of like pre-gaming or rehearsal. So you're able to, the likelihood that you're actually going to engage in that then behavior is going to be greater.
My guests today are UK dietitians Vanessa Oliver and Dr. Karen Brila-McNeese talking about the holiday joys and the holiday pressures and how we can all have a good time. Well, in segueing from that, from talking about food, sometimes inextricably bound in certain soirees is alcohol as well. And I know in the past you've both had some hints about a slightly healthier way of approaching alcohol at the holidays. Tell me a little bit about that.
So alcohol we call the triple whammy for these three reasons. It obviously has empty calories. It does increase your appetite. It's an appetite stimulant. And at some level, the alcohol is going to impede your judgment about what food decisions you're making. So we want people to be aware that all those three factors are going on.
Yeah. And, you know, once you're aware, again, being mindful of your intake, there are some certain habits that you can start. So certainly making sure that you have a glass of water in between each drink, if there's more than one, is going to be helpful, not only for slowing down your alcohol imbibement, but also keeping you hydrated and, you know, taking in some fewer calories as well. Making sure that you're also kind of aware of what a serving size of alcohol is can be helpful. That's difficult because there are no nutrition facts panels on alcohol bottles. But keeping in mind that a general serving size is going to be 12 ounces of beer, about an ounce to an ounce and a half of hard liquor, and about 5 or so ounces of wine can be a good starting point.
I think it's a common misperception amongst many that beer or wine is potentially less problematic than hard liquor. And yet I think what you just said, Vanessa, is those units are all equivalent. The 12-ounce beer, the glass of wine, the shot of liquor, we're really talking about the same amount of alcohol.
That's right. Yeah, and that's easy to forget.
And we want people to be safe. That's the one of the most important things as well. Of course, if you're pacing yourself, you're more likely to be able to drive yourself home. Or if there's a problem with that, we want to be sure people are finding designated drivers and planning for that scenario ahead of time, just in case your plan doesn't pan out as you hoped.
Well, and the true heroes of the holiday season, those designated drivers, that's for sure. And is there anything that we've not talked about yet that you would like for our listeners to know?
I think in along with the practical implications of the holidays we've been talking about, there's a pretty big psychological perspective in terms of some of the mind games that we play with ourselves around the holidays. It's very alluring when January 1st and New Year's resolutions are right around the corner to play that mind game with yourself that says, oh, well, I'll just enjoy this now, do whatever I want, and I'll worry about that in January when it's time to make those New Year's resolutions and get back on track. But a lot of damage can happen between Thanksgiving and New Year's during this holiday time, in December especially. So there's no need to wait, right? You can take action now to minimize what might happen during the holidays.
Yeah, and at the same time, too, do what we've been saying throughout this chat and, you know, enjoy your holiday meals without guilt as well, because what can happen is that guilt can really build up and cause lots of sort of shame cycle, you know, results. So you do deserve to enjoy your holiday meals without the guilt. It is just food, okay? You can always get back on the horse once you're done.
My thanks today to UK dietitians Dr. Karen Brila-McNeese and Vanessa Oliver for talking with me about pressures surrounding food and drink at the holidays and how we can enjoy at the same time as we deal with those pressures. For more information, visit our website at wuky.org. With health news you can use, I'm Dr. Greg Davis on Medicine.
Dr. Greg Davis is a forensic pathologist at the University of Kentucky. He volunteers his time to bring important medical news to the community. You can hear more of his programs at wuky.org.